The Allied Expeditionary Forces landed in Normandy, and we're going to have a very special program this morning. Don't you think so, Richard Parker?
I think so, Bunny Morris. We'll be talking with a veteran of the D-Day invasion, Bob Dumke. He was one of the brave paratroopers that indeed landed behind, I guess you could say, German lines before the actual invasion on the beachhead. He was there to make sure that if they got that far, that there wouldn't be German reinforcements to get our guys and make things worse, and if they ever got above those beaches, to be able to proceed on to liberate France. So what a historic day to have been a part of, and a tragic one when you consider the loss of life.
Oh, yes, Richard. In the back page of the Tribune this morning, they have some maps of just what was happening on D-Day, and then also there was a wonderful story in the Reader's Digest called The Legacy of D-Day, and it really makes you stop and think that maybe it sounds a little corny, as the article said, but they were fighting for our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting here today because of the things that happened during that time in June 6, 1944.
I think Bill Granger is one of my favorite writers, and he's on the back page of the Tribune, and he says, that was the last good war, the last one that seemed free of cynicism by those who fought it. And, of course, they say that it was indeed the day they say that the whole world held its breath. And
yes,
he says when he visits there, he can certainly believe it because, you know, I don't know if anyone who wasn't there at that particular moment could understand what it was like, but we can appreciate what it meant, because if it had failed, then, well, what would have happened next?
I don't know. We put everything we had into this effort, and it had to succeed. There was just no doubt that it had to succeed. And Dan Parker and you and I were talking this morning, and Dan had listened to the speech or the narrative given by Dwight Eisenhower in 1964, and that was on the 20th anniversary of D-Day with Walter Cronkite. And he said, when it all boiled down, it wasn't the officers, and it wasn't the big generals, it was the G.I. Joe out there in the trenches.
Yeah, and when you consider the tremendous problems that they faced, the weather wasn't that great, tremendous seasickness, many men died before they even got into a combat situation. It is one of those situations where, as you pointed out, having a general pointing his finger at the Germans isn't going to do any good. It's just simple, old American, and of course universal, I suppose, bravery and the willingness to give up your life for something you believe in.
Yes, you put your own life on the line for the cause of freedom. It was just as simple as that. If we wanted a free world and we wanted our life to go on as we had known it in the past and wanted it to be better, those men had to put their lives on the line.
And it's funny, too, they had a very good story on one of the TV news shows a couple of days ago about D-Day, and they said, we don't have much to show you because there wasn't anyone there taking any pictures. It was just of course, a lot of it happened under the cover of darkness and gray, cloudy weather, and it was such a carnage when you look back on it that there was just no way you could have a few cameramen on the sidelines recording things like we almost expect things to happen now. So the few pictures that we do see show a grim picture, but one that seemed to really save our freedom.
And well, we're going to be talking to Robert Dumke, and before we went on the air this morning, I was talking to him, and I said, how you doing? He said, well, I'm a little nervous about being on the air. I said, hey, anybody that has been through D-Day doesn't have to worry about being on the air, for heaven's sake.
Well, isn't that true? When you consider the tribulations and the trials that they faced at D-Day, when we think of our everyday trials and tribulations, how many times have we complained about someone parking in the fire lane at the grocery store? Or, boy, you go to the post office and, boy, there's four people in line. You wonder when you're ever going to get, you know, what you want done. The obstacles we face in life just don't match up.
I just can't imagine, and I know a lot of people in our area had to go through those times, and it was very difficult because you were involved in some way in the war effort. Every family in the United States was involved in some way, and you had loved ones that were overseas, and you hadn't heard from them, and you wondered what was going on. I think that the waiting must have been really just terrible.
So we'll get a chance to talk with Robert Dumke about his real-life experiences in the middle of the D-Day activities in a few moments. Then we'll have a recording that Mr. Dumke made available to us. It's from a record that he bought when he was in Normandy for the 25th anniversary of D-Day back in 1969, and that lasts a while, but I can't think of any subject that's more worthy of our thoughts today than perhaps the brave men who went before us and made this wonderful life possible. And don't forget, last night there was a City of Ottawa Council meeting.
Yes, and that means that we're going to have Mayor Jim Thomas with us at 11:05.
And then at 11:30, Ron Pastorek will be here with Problems and Solutions and Radio Traders. So if you don't know much about D-Day, maybe you're like me. I learned a lot this morning. We'll find out a lot more from Bob Dumke in just a few minutes.
Blythe Flower time is now 10:11. There's a truckload of roses at Blythe Flowers, and they're going for only $5.95 a dozen. Call today for the color variety and then head for Blythe Flowers on LaSalle Street.
Now's the time to get that old car looking like new again with a complete auto paint job at H&H Auto. Now through June 30th, H&H Auto will paint your entire car for just $300. H&H Auto handles general auto repair from bodywork to mechanical, so they know your car inside out. Just contact H&H Auto at 320 West Lafayette and ask them about their complete auto paint job special for just $300 going on through the month of June. Bodywork extra. H&H Auto is open 8 until 5, Monday through Friday.
You're not actually going to eat that pepperoni and cream cheese sandwich.
Yes, with a nice refreshing like cola.
Aren't you Tim Conway?
Why, yes, I am. Say, how about some of my sandwich?
Oh, no thanks.
Can I offer you a like cola?
Well, cola does sound good, but...
But?
Well, it says here it's 99% caffeine free.
Oh, but this is like cola, you see. 7-Up makes it, and they're famous for making great tasting soft drinks with no caffeine.
Caffeine free and it tastes good?
Well, sure. Taste it yourself.
Well, why not? this tastes great.
Well, it should have taste. 7-Up wouldn't make a cola until they made one unsurpassed by other colas.
How true.
Just great real cola taste. Say, we even have time for another. By the way, are you going all the way to Cleveland?
Cleveland? Well, this train's going to Peoria.
Like cola and sugar-free like. The 7-Up of colas.
Peoria. Oh, boy. No wonder nothing looked familiar.
YMCA time is 10:13. Save $25 on the new youth membership when you join the YMCA June 7th, 8th, or 9th. Grade school, high school, and full-time college students pay only $45 for a full year. See this week's Thrifty Nickel for details. With us, as we promised, we have Mr. Bob Dumke. He was there 40 years ago today.
And I think the first thing I want to say to you is thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad to be here to honor those that died there.
How was it back then in 1944? You were a paratrooper. You went in the night before, did you not?
About 10 o'clock at night, we boarded the planes, and we dropped about 1 o'clock or around in that time. Some of us before and some a little after.
And where did you land?
Well, I landed about a mile and a half outside of St. Marie and Glace.
And what was your mission?
Well, our mission was with the 505 Regiment. And, of course, I was in the headquarters company and a messenger, and everybody had their special jobs, and we were just set up lines and keep any reinforcements from reaching the beach and cut off all communications, whatever came up toward us.
How did you feel when you were getting ready to jump out of that plane?
Well, I was quite scared, and when the... So we have a green light that comes on. That means it's time to go. And I stood up, and I felt very weak, and I prayed.
Oh, I bet. I bet there were a lot of prayers in that plane.
And it helped.
You were jumping out into the darkness, of course.
It was on a kind of a moonlight night. They usually pick a moonlight night, but there was clouds, you know, floating around, and it would be moonlight for a little bit, and a cloud would cover the moon, and you know how a night like that would be. And of course, on the ground, we had bundles that were dropped with a lot of equipment in them, and we had to find those bundles. They had fluorescent tape on them, you know, all around them, and that, just like a big bundle. And then we'd have to locate them. Of course, they dropped right about where we were dropping, but they were a little difficult to find a lot of them. We didn't get them all.
Well, Bob, did the Germans know you were coming in? I mean, could they, when the first people landed, or the first men landed, did they know that something was happening or the bundles dropped or something?
Well, they knew when it was started. They didn't know beforehand.
Yes,
it
that's what I meant.
There was an element of surprise there.
Oh, okay.
Now, in St. Marie and Glace that night, there was a fire. Now, our bombers had been over there in reconnaissance and whatever, and something started a fire in the town of St. Marie Anglaise. And just about, they had called the army out, you know, to help fight the fire, and they were out there. You know.
Was this done purposely? Did our bombers had the fire going?
No, it wasn't done accidentally.
Oh, my.
And hadn't it been for that, it was about 30 men dropped right in the town, right where the fire, some of them landed right in the fire.
Right.
And around the town, it was about 30 of them that were, you know, killed.
Bob, there was a movie made of that. Wasn't there a movie where...
The Longest Day.
Yes, and it showed...
John Steele hanging on to church steeple, a real good friend of mine, and
was shot
in
down?
The same battalion. No, he hung there. He was shot in the leg, ankle or leg, and he just played dead.
Oh.
And then they finally, you know, after things kind of calmed down, they cut him down, and he was... Took him captured him. Of course, he didn't stay captured too long after we had things going there.
Well, a lot of the men that jumped did land in trees, did they not?
Landed in trees, landed in water. There was a river, two rivers there, Dove and Murderette. And the Germans had broken the dams and flooded a lot of the area there. It was 4 and 5 feet of water, but when you're loaded down with all the equipment we had to carry, a lot of them just drowned right there.
Did you use the little crickets?
Yes, that was to warn somebody that you were there, your buddy.
Okay, now, that's surprising. This is something new I just learned recently, that you would use your little clackers or your little clickers, and you go...
You go click, one click, and then it's supposed to make two clicks. If your buddy or somebody, another airborne.
So if I wanted to find out where you were, I'd give one click?
One click, and then I would answer with two clicks. And that was the code.
So that was, those clickers are very important.
At nighttime, and you can't make no noise or talk or anything, you know, any more than you can possibly, you know, at night.
And so you landed safely.
Well, I landed in an area with, of course, I was with an outfit now, the 505. Not bragging about my outfit.
Well,
we had
you
been
deserve
in,
to be.
We had been in before. They made Sicily and Salerno, and the pilots of the C-47s were very well experienced, and they took us right in on our DZ just about as close as you could get. And
what is DZ?
That's the drop zone.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of the other planes, of course, it was anti-aircraft guns and whatever, and a lot of them had to get out of the way of them, and they scattered all over, you know. In fact, my brother, Leonard, he was dropped about 50 miles inland. He was with 507 regiment.
Well, of course, I've never had a parachute jump, and just for me to do a parachute jump would be just sterling bravery. But here you are doing under very hard conditions, and so you drop to the ground, you've made the jump safely, then you have to get out of the parachute rigging, do you not?
Not very easy. I mean, you had your lines all around you and that, because we carried a dagger on our right leg, strapped to our leg, and most of us just grabbed that, and it was razor sharp, and we just cut
and
our way
worried.
Out of the chute a lot of times. You had to.
Well, you had to be thinking, Bob, what have I jumped into? Are there any Germans around, or are some of my comrades here, or whatever?
Well, you didn't know that. That's the scary part of it. We had training before that, and then a briefing before we went on the plane, and they told us all the things that, you know, we were could be up against.
Now, we heard that, of course, D-Day could have happened, say, on the 4th.
Well, it was postponed 24 hours because of the weather. And then he snuck it in just in right time because the weather got bad right after that again.
Well,
and that was an act of God or something that, you know, they decided to go and they went. Because most of those fellas in boats out there were bobbing up and down and sick. And I'll tell you, I'd rather jump out of an airplane than anything than on a boat. have that.
We've got to take a break. We were talking to Dan Parker this morning, though, and Montgomery wanted to go ahead, even though the weather was bad. And just think of the amount of pressure and tension that was on that meteorologist to say, we are going to go. Eisenhower said, okay. Our guest this morning is Bob Dumke, and of course, we're commemorating the anniversary of D-Day, which we all are very thankful for all the men that landed on D-Day. Perhaps you have a question or a comment. Our number is 433-1430.
taste it.
Where's the beef? But Ponderosa asks, where's the value? If you're 62 years old or older, today is your day at Ponderosa, because from 4 p.m. to closing, you'll receive a 15% discount on your order. That's the value. Tonight and every Wednesday night, from 4 p.m. till closing, Senior Citizens Night at Ponderosa, home of the world's biggest, best salad and soup buffet. Oh, today's soup is Wisconsin cheddar cheese.
Ponderosa. I can taste it. Ponderosa. I can taste it now.
This could be your lucky week to play $1 Million Wingo in the Sun-Times. There's $25,000 just waiting to be won, and all you have to do is check the Wingo numbers on your card with those in the Sun-Times. Circle all 15 numbers on your game panel, and you'll win or share $25,000. Even if you don't win by Friday, you get a second chance to win on Sunday, up to $10,000. And in this Sunday Sun-Times, you'll find another free $1 Million Wingo game card. So play $1 Million Wingo this week and look for your free Wingo card in Sunday Sun-Times. No purchase required. Void where prohibited. See rules for details.
Ottawa Lions Club Carnival time is 22 past 10. Save 50% with advance tickets from the Lions Club Carnival. Available from all Lions members and many local businesses, the carnival will be from June 12th to the 17th, and all the proceeds will be used for Ottawa community projects. We have some tickets for those carnival rides. We'll be giving them away in the next couple of days, so thanks very much to the Lions. Bob Dumke, I think that there are so many questions people my age have about what, how you must have felt, because you were, how old were you when this happened?
I was 26.
26 years old.
26.
I think that now in this nuclear age, in this sophisticated military age, that we're so sure that we could wipe any other country off the map that would attack us, that I think we forget sometimes the feeling of uncertainty that you almost have had as to whether you were going to win or you were going to lose.
Well,
or were you uncertain?
I wasn't really uncertain. I mean, I don't know. I figured the United States is a great country, and we had all the materials over there in England. I had one Englishman say they should have made the England 49th state.
I heard that you were, with all the equipment, they were afraid you were going to sink the British Isles or something like that. So
I
you
would
were,
like to mention
go ahead.
Leonard Skolnick and I was over there together in during 25th anniversary. And I knew him as Big Joe through the war, and I come home and went to a convention, and everybody was asking me, have you seen Big Joe? And I said, what's his name? They said, Leonard Skolnick.
Oh, my. Oh.
You so, found out there,
same
huh?
battalion, the same battalion, you know.
Oh, but, my.
So you were pretty confident when you went over there, but we were just talking briefly during the commercial. You landed at night, and there was all this uncertainty, and then the next day dawned, the day when the assault really began on the beach that wasn't far away from you. Could you describe what that was like?
Well, we had a light that we went assembled on called a Keeler light. It was on a long pole. It pushed it up in the air to the highest places up around there. Well, they had the right place to go, you know, figured that out already. And it's just a small light that wouldn't be detected by anybody really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't hardly see it unless you knew it was going to be there. And that was one place we were to assemble on. Now, there were several of those in different areas. Now, our battalion, 2nd Battalion, was supposed to go on this one particular light, you know. So we would assemble on that. And we'd get there, and of course, it was dark. We heard sporadic fire all over different places, you know, where some men had run into, enemy. But luckily, I didn't, and quite a few of us didn't. And our whole battalion was intact early that morning. And then we went into St. Marie Anglice. It was about a mile and a half out. 3rd Battalion, Colonel Kraus was in there at that time already with part of our regiment, and got the honor of liberating St. Marie Anglice. But we were right in there, right behind them, and about the same time.
So you got to walk into this, the first town in France liberated by the assaulting forces. What was the reaction of the people there?
Well, actually, they weren't visible. You'd see them behind windows looking out, behind the curtains and so forth. They weren't on the streets no more. They knew that, well, that night would be enough to scare them, when they had the fire and all the shooting and whatever. And, of course, they kind of stayed inside. Till that day, the next day, a lot of them came out, different ones, and they were very helpful.
Well, now, our forces landed about 7:30 that morning. Could you see the boats coming in?
No, we were too far inland. All we could do was hear it.
Oh, what did it sound like?
It was terrific. I mean, you just couldn't imagine the noise and what,
And I heard that the planes flying overhead was just like a solid sheet
like
of
mosquitoes.
Wow.
That's one thing that made us feel good, though. We knew we had air cover. We had medium bombers, spider planes of every description. And one of my friends, can't think of his name. I got to mention him. Ramo Vignacchi.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you know him or not. But he was in a B-26 bomber, and him and I get together, and I used to build B-26s before the war in Baltimore, and we got talking about it, and he said he used to fly a tail gunner on one.
My
and then we got
goodness.
Talking about Normandy, and he said, yeah, I went in on that morning, too.
He was over you while you were down on the ground.
He said, I never seen so many parachutes in my life.
So you didn't know till later about the obstacles they faced on the beach?
Oh, no. No, we just knew more or less our own particular things that we had to do and that. But we knew they were going to make beach landings. We didn't know how big it was or how many or the scope of it until after I read it, just like everybody else.
Can you imagine that over 150,000 men landed on those beaches that day?
It was terrific.
150,000.
To keep everything straight and everything, and it was confusing.
Imagine.
On the beaches. Now, everybody didn't land in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the best. The weather wasn't the best either. It was bad. It wasn't as bad as it could have been. But the Rangers, I was watching on the radio this morning or on television, they were telling about the Rangers, and some of them were wiped off toward away from where they were supposed to.
And then they had to go up that high cliff?
And they went up that high cliff, 200, but they were supposed to be reinforced and then didn't get any reinforcing.
Mm.
No. And so
that's where inner fortitude has to come into play.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a commercial break. We have a call waiting. We'll get to that in just a minute.
Ottawa Federal Savings and Loan is Illinois' oldest building association. They've been serving the Ottawa area for 113 years. Over those years, Ottawa Federal realized the importance of personal care and individualized attention to their customers. And as economic patterns changed, they met each challenge by offering customers the best services and savings plans available. With a heritage like that, you can be sure your savings are solid and secure. After all, Ottawa Federal has spent more than a century making futures. Ottawa Federal Savings and Loan. Member FSLIC.
Here's a flash bulletin from the 7-Up Company. Those innovative leaders in the soft drink world just announced some startling news about diet soft drinks. Certainly a lot of people at the Diet Coke headquarters may be startled to find out that their Diet Coke brand lost out in a nationwide taste test. That's right, Diet 7-Up beat out Diet Coke in a preference test by 63% to 37%. In fact, the results show that Diet 7-Up was the clear winner over all diet brands tested. It soundly defeated Tab by a margin of 72 to 28%, and it was preferred over Diet Pepsi 62 to 38%. With results like these, it's no wonder Diet 7-Up is now saying it may be the best-tasting diet soft drink ever. Diet 7-Up with no caffeine is famous for its clean, refreshing, thirst-quenching taste. Diet 7-Up paid for this message because if you've got a product this good, you want people to know about it. Diet 7-Up, it may be the best-tasting diet soft drink ever.
Video Center time is now 10:30. The Video Center Movie Club membership is only $30 per year, and every 12th movie rental is free to club members. The Video Center, 306 West Lafayette, across from the fire station. I think we have someone very special on the phone this morning. Good morning. You're on the air with Bob Dumke.
Yeah. Did you ever return to Europe?
Did I what?
Did you ever return to Europe?
In 1969, I went back.
Do you recognize his voice, Bob?
I think it's one of my employees.
No?
I don't know. I have a young fella working.
You better tell
it's
who.
It's me, Grandpa.
It's your grandson.
Which one, Lenny?
No, Rodney.
Well, Rod Diaz, not my grandson. This is a little boy I just hired to help us out there.
Okay.
He asked for a job a few days ago. I recognize his voice there.
Okay. we'll get him to talk about that.
Thanks for calling, Rodney.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
You did go back for the 25th anniversary.
I went back to the 25th anniversary and went over there, and I made a parachute jump in St. Marie and Gleis with 12 other fellas, myself. I was one of the 12, and a couple of Frenchmen that were with us.
Weren't you a little out of practice by then?
Well, I'd been skydiving, so I...
Oh, my God. I can see that you and I would not do well together.
What did you think when you went back 25 years later?
Well, Normandy itself was almost like it was when we were there before. Now, the church was still there, and you could see the shells where they had hit and bullets and whatever on the church. They didn't fix it. They just let it like that. It's still there yet. And this church started in the Roman times. They built that in Normandy, for the history of Normandy. All the armies passed through there, it seems like, from different nations and that. And they were still milking the cows out in the fields. They have horses or mules with two big leather buckets strung over them, and they go out and milk the cows and haul the milk back into town.
So really, that's the kind of lifestyle that you all went over there to preserve for them.
That's right. And they brag about their butter and their milk. They say they got the best there is in the world, and it's good.
And the other question I'd like to ask you is because there's been so much talk lately. We had the Vietnam veteran, the unknown soldier who was interned not too long ago. So people just recently have been talking more about the ill feeling and the sadness that we have when we think about the Vietnam War, the Korean War. And you were in one of the most triumphant efforts of World War II, and you've lived through all the rest. What would you have to say to people who may not have been around for D-Day and for World War II with all that's happened? What kind of attitude should we have about the way things are going now?
Well, we had everybody behind us in World War II. Everybody was war-minded. People were working in war factories. Women were working in airplane factories, shipyards. And we were all...
I can understand that. I just read this article, as I said, and you go back to a place like that that you did on the anniversary, and the article sums it all up. It really sounds corny, but thanks to all those men that did not come back from there, and thanks to all the men that were there, we are living a life of freedom. And it's really kind of corny, isn't it, when you say it like that, but it's true, isn't it?
Can I say one thing? I'd like to say that the Korean War and the Vietnam War, they were both wars. When you were a combat man up there facing artillery or whatever, it's just as important there as anywhere else. And at that time, it wasn't involved the whole world and the whole country. And it was more or less, it's going on. And the only people I think that I really knew about it or felt it were those that had sons that were in there and lost sons in war, in those wars. I used to put a gray blanket on one of my sons, real good friends in school, every Christmas time, and he was killed in one of those wars, and that made me feel pretty bad.
So maybe now's not the time to rehash the whys or the wherefores, just to remember the sacrifice they made and to thank them for it, because it's too late now to argue about what happened, isn't it?
That's right.
And it's because of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people like Bob Dumke of Ottawa that we can sit here and talk about it and not have someone in a military uniform out there, Bunny, with his finger on the eject button to tell us what to say and what not to say.
Yes, and maybe on that eject button they'd never see us or hear us again. And we have a really very nice narrative, and thanks to you we have this narrative. So tell us what we have, Bob.
What did you give us to us on tape?
Well, when I went back in 1969, St. Marie and Gleis, we had this celebration there at the church, and it's mentioned in the Longest Day. They have a perpetual flame there at front of the church to this day, and that's one that was made John Steele famous from hanging on that church. And Mayor Renaud, he's passed away. His wife is still living. I think she's still living yet. She's got to be in her 90s. And they had the celebration, or what do you want to call it, in the church. And we've got a recording of it. I bought it from Chaplain Wood. He was one of them that was doing the speaking, and he's still our association chaplain, and he made 4 parachute jumps in all the different engagements and lived through them all, and he's quite a man. And so I bought one of these records, and fact is, yesterday afternoon was the first time I heard it for several years.
And it really describes in great detail what the people there were seeing when people like Bob Dumke were parachuting in to liberate them. So all we can say is, as Bunny did say earlier, thank you. And you are a lucky person, and we're lucky to have you.
Well, I'm sure happy to be here, and I'm it's to honor those that's not.
Thank you. That's a nice thought.
We'll take a break, then we have that very moving recording for you coming up.
MedRx Pharmacy has the perfect gift for anyone who's been like a...